Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday. In just a moment, Barbara Ehrenreich is going to be joining us fresh off The Daily Show with Jon Stewart last night. Author, she's such a prolific writer, and she's written so many important books. Nickel and Dimed is one of my favorites. What she did to write that book is just phenomenal. And she draws attention to things that are going on in society that nobody else seems to pay much attention to. Her latest book is Brightsided: How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. And now all I can think of, we're singing all those songs in the studio of, you know, I want to be happy, or zippity-doo-dah, smile even though your heart is breaking. How does it go? Something like that. We'll have to play all of them tonight so we can be positive thinkers as we start this Thursday, because we're in a fall pledge drive. We're listener-supported. Wisconsin Public Radio, it is our fall membership drive. Barbara will be with us in just a moment. Lisa Nalbandian is joining me in our studio, and we're here today to raise money in support of the programs you enjoy on this station. And you got to love Barbara Ehrenreich. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And the amount you want to give is up to you. We appreciate every donation. Every dollar you give makes a difference. So please give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 so you can smile. Hello, Lisa.
Hello. And this is a very special hour because we have Barbara Ehrenreich, but we also have a dollar for dollar match right now,
right,
up to $1,500. And this is such a generous challenge. It's given by an anonymous donor. And really, it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio today. So really, your pledge right now will be doubled. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Barbara Ehrenreich will be with us in just one moment talking about her latest book, Brightsided. And it's not a negative book. She's written books about joy as well, but she thinks we need to be realistic. And she looks at, you know, this billion-dollar industry of people who get up and just say affirmations in the morning. I'm going to have a good day. Money is going to come my way. I'm going to live in that big house that I imagine by putting the picture of the big house on my wall so I can see it every morning. She's really smart, and she's done just wonderful work. For $120, we're happy to send you a copy of Brightsided: How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America by Barbara Ehrenreich. All you have to do is go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And giving is really easy. It just takes about 3 minutes of your time. You'll tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you want to pay. And remember that credit cards save us time, money, and paper. We take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and also Discover. So take those 3 minutes right now. Give securely online, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552.
There are many times, I'm sure, that you've been listening to this program and you've heard something that stopped you in your tracks, something that was really interesting. I think that happens to me actually every single day, which is why I do what I do. We strive every day for programs that make you think, that open your eyes, that engage your brain, programs that affect your life, programs that have strong elements of truth, serious they may be, but there is humor in many things in life as well. This kind of radio happens only with your financial support. Only this hour will we be sending you a copy of Barbara Ehrenreich's pledge for the work Barbara's done. She's terrific. $120, and we'll send you Brightsided: How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we also have a dollar for dollar match this hour up to $1,500.
Oh, yeah.
It's in effect right now, and it's offered by an anonymous donor. So think about it. You pledge $50, that gift really turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. So you get the idea.
Very good, Lisa.
Yeah. Did I break that down clearly?
Yes,
I think.
You did.
And really, Wisconsin Public Radio just gets more funding to give you the programs that you rely on every day. So get your pledge matched dollar for dollar right now. Give online WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
Yes, please do. Again, the goal, 25 pledges. We still need 23 calls, which we should be able to do with Barbara this hour. $120, a thank you gift for you for your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you already for those of you who have given. Terry and James in Superior, who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio on a daily basis to hear both sides of current events and happenings to make more informed decisions. Thank you so much, Terry and James. So donate now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa, very much. Barbara Ehrenreich is joining us now, and her latest book is titled Bright-Sided, How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. She says, really, that nobody can call her a sourpuss. After all, she does have a big foot in the joy camp, and she's written a book, actually, about happiness as well. She's the author of 17 books. One of the most profound, I think, is Nickel and Dime. You remember when we talked to her about that book, and I think about it frequently when you think about people who either have lost their jobs or are trying to make ends meet doing three different jobs at once, maybe don't have health insurance. She put herself in that situation, the best kind of reporting, to give us that book. Bait and Switch, another of her books. She's written many books. She's a columnist, has been for the New York Times and also for Time magazine. And she says in this book, I didn't write this in a spirit of sourness or personal disappointment of any kind, nor do I have any romantic attachment to suffering as a source of virtue or insight. I would like to see more smiles, laughter, hugs, happiness, and better yet, joy. Once our basic material needs are met, in my utopia anyway, life becomes a perpetual celebration in which everyone has a talent to contribute. But we cannot levitate ourselves into that blessed condition by wishing it. We need to brace ourselves for a struggle against terrifying obstacles, both of our own making and imposed by the natural world. The first step is to recover from the mass delusion that is positive thinking. Hello, Barbara.
Hi. Good to be back with you.
Oh, it's great to have you here. And I saw you on The Daily Show last night. You were terrific.
Oh, thank you. That was kind of a thrill.
Yeah, I'll bet it was kind of a thrill. Yeah, you did a very, very nice job. Very, very nice. So you're not really a sourpuss, Barbara. You're far from being a sourpuss. I love this, what you said about yourself. You do have a big foot in the joy camp.
Yeah. No, I think we really have to distinguish positive thinking, that whole ideology that you should be upbeat, positive, cheerful at all times, from actually feeling happiness and actually feeling, even better yet, joy or bliss. Hey, let's go all the way.
You talk about, you're such a gifted writer, you talk about former President George Bush, who, I forgot this about him for a moment, had been a cheerleader in prep school. Cheerleading being a distinctly American innovation could be considered the athletically inclined ancestor of much of the coaching and motivating that's been going on in this country. It's a big business.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there is a business. It's hard to get exact numbers on it because it's not something that's well reported. But America is the leading producer of motivational speakers, and there's a whole raft of motivational products, DVDs, books, inspirational posters to put on your wall, even all kinds of little tchotchkes that should inspire you that you can get from a company called Successories.
Oh, no. And you've gone to a lot of these addresses, haven't you? Poor you. You've sat through them and tried to get motivated or listened to how they tried
yes,
to get...
I have listened to a lot of motivational speakers, and it's always the same. It's always the same message, one way or another, that you can do anything, you can prevail over any kinds of circumstances, if you're concentrating enough, focusing enough on what you want. If you are visualizing success in all these cases. In other words, you know, your mind is really controls the universe. It's not the circumstances. It's not the fact that you were just laid off or diagnosed with cancer. It's all your mind that will help you overcome whatever. Everything is sort of put on the individual, including the individual who may be experiencing something rather difficult and painful, like a layoff.
Right. And I'm amazed how some of this is so a lot of it is so simplistic, this thing about visualizing yourself in your large mansion, visualizing those cancer cells being eaten up by the good cells in your body. Just put yourself in your mind and make it better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I first experienced this when I was being treated for breast cancer 8 years ago. And as I reached out on the internet and other ways for information and support, what I got was something very different. All this advice, these exhortations to be positive, to be cheerful, to accept my disease as actually a great thing that was happening to me, because I was going to come out of it more sensitive and spiritual and et cetera somehow. And that's not really how I felt. I felt angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is this such an epidemic? We don't know what causes breast cancer. Why are the treatments so barbaric and debilitating? So I felt a lot of anger, but when I tried to express that anger on really the nation's largest breast cancer site, my gut response is like, Barb, you've got to run, not walk, to the nearest therapist.
Mm.
You know, you're
right
in big trouble.
Yeah. So those teddy bears didn't help.
Oh, that was the first sign to me that there was something very, very wrong. The ads I found, I was actually in the process of being diagnosed, waiting in a waiting room, and I found in a local paper an ad for a pink breast cancer teddy bear. And that just chilled me to the bone. I mean, I did not think of this as an occasion to regress into infancy. You know, it's the biggest challenge of my adult life in many ways. And, you know, the lack of respect, the lack of respect for the fact that it's difficult, just really upset me.
And it's not something that you do, you make reference to men who were diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Yeah, now they are actually given some of the same kind of line, that if you just think positively about your cancer and you'll get through it, and it'll be a good thing for you. But they are not infantilized to the extent that women are. I have to give you one other example of this. I found out that there was a foundation, this is in 2001, that was donating tote bags to women who are being treated for breast cancer in various New York hospitals. I managed to get hold of one of these tote bags. And inside was, you know, there was a certain amount of cheap jewelry and moisturizers and, you know, things like that, perfume. And then a box of crayons. So I called the foundation.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, this is really nice, but what's with the crayons? And a woman said, well, that's, you know, in case you want to jot down some of your experiences, what you're going through.
With a crayon.
I said, I'm a writer.
Oh,
I do not write with crayons.
Oh, Barbara.
And I was furious. And I thought, you know, would, if it was a man with prostate cancer, would they give him a matchbook car? Or matchbox car, excuse me.
Right.
No. I mean, all of this made me very, very angry. But I thought at the time that it was all just something to do with the strange pink ribbon culture that surrounds breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. Did it help you? What about these ideas of support groups? I had a heart attack a couple years ago, and it was helpful to me, first of all, to learn a lot about women and heart disease, which I didn't know much about. We know much more about women and breast cancer
right.
than we do about women and heart disease, and it kills more of us, heart disease does. Was it helpful for you? And I'm wondering what form this took. I know that you have a PhD in biology, so you know the science behind all of this. What about getting together with people I'm wondering if those support groups also engage pretty much in just, you know, boost your immune system by having positive thoughts, or if it has the nitty gritty, I'm scared to death about all of this. This is the hardest thing I've ever gone through.
I think both kinds of things can happen. In my experience, it was, you know, fairly pleasant and supportive. I only went once, and I couldn't see that I was going to get a lot out of it. But I have since found out that there are breast cancer support groups that expel members if their cancer metastasizes.
Oh, my gosh.
And it looks like they're going to die. You know why? Because that would be a downer for the other group members. Now, that's carrying this positive thinking into a, you know, very cruel kind of direction, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you explain the fact that, as you write about in your book, we're engaging in positive thinking, but despite, as you say, our vaunted positivity, we're not very happy at all. We rank only number 23. We account for 2/3 of the global market for antidepressants.
Yeah. The most commonly prescribed drugs in America are antidepressants. And yet we are the country that came up with this whole positive thinking ideology. We export it, and the motivational speakers and so forth, throughout the world. You know, Psychology Today commented, and it was only this year that they said it, you know, that in these years when we've worked so hard to be positive, we're not getting any happier. And I think there's a good reason, several good reasons for that, but one of them is that it's just work. You know, how do you be positive? Well, you got to recite affirmations. You have to listen to motivational DVDs. You have to read the books. You have to constantly try to crush any negative thought that should sneak into your mind. So it seems to me like a lot of effort. And a lot of effort that goes into basically deluding yourself.
Who are the happiest people, and how do we define that?
That is a big question. How do you define happy?
Right.
And happiness? And I am not very satisfied with all the research on happiness that's been going on in recent years. Along with the positive thinking in the popular culture, there's been a trend in academia to want to... you know, to study happiness and find out, you know, what makes us happier and everything like that. The trouble is that what do you ask people? You know, if I ask you right now, Kathleen, are you happy? You'd have to think, right? I mean, maybe you were happy earlier this morning, but maybe then something happened to disturb you, and, you know, it's not something that you can easily come up with an answer to.
Right.
And what bothers me about a lot of the happiness surveys used by the academicians in this area, the positive psychologists, is that they're basically measuring contentment. How satisfied are you with your life? How proud are you of your success, et cetera? And, you know, I could never know how to answer those questions because, you know, I can say I'm perfectly content with my individual life in so many ways, but if I throw in thinking about global poverty and warming, you know, climate change and everything, no, I'm not so content. I haven't done enough about any of those things. So I think just asking people how satisfied they are is really getting a measure of conformity and acquiescence to the status quo.
So what we need is more empathy, perhaps, and then it might achieve more true happiness.
Oh, I think so. I mean, my book just came out, so I haven't had too many responses, but I've gotten quite a few emails from people who just maybe read advanced publicity as telling me these sad stories. You know, that one woman wrote and said recently her husband died. Also, her apartment building burned down.
Oh.
You know, kind of one after another. And she went, you know, she co-worker said, how are you? And she said, instead of saying fine, she said, well, I'm not so good. And here's what happened. And the co-worker just said, oh, you have to be positive about these things. You have to think positively about them and move on. Now, that to me, that just shows a serious lack of empathy.
Right. Very dismissive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when we, I think that's part of the whole positive thinking ideology. There is no time for whiners, as they're called. If you voice a complaint about your life or about the situation you find yourself in, you're being a whiner. And that's made to, you know, then you could be ostracized for that.
On the other hand, we all work with and know people who are whiners, and they drive you crazy.
There are people who are generally, yes, I agree. And I've spent a lot of time in my life with some of them. I have some story to say, you know, who are just generally negative all the time about whatever you propose.
Right.
They expect everything to fail or not to be any fun or whatever. And that's certainly not the alternative that we want. The alternative to positive thinking isn't that kind of negative thinking. The alternative would be to be a little realistic about what's going on. I know that's a radical proposal, but...
But there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barbara Ehrenreich is our guest. Our phone number on air. We have a lot of calls. We'll take them in a moment. Her latest book is Brightsided, How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. She starts the book with a very long chapter and very important chapter in her diagnosis with breast cancer and how all of the pink ribbons and the teddy bears in the room, in the changing room, no less, where she was having a significant mammogram, really unnerved her, that we need to be realistic and sometimes just thinking that you're going to get better and visualizing being totally healthy is deluding ourselves, and that self-delusion is probably never a very good idea. To your phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Barbara Ehrenreich is our guest, and we are pledging this hour as well. These are the last couple hours for me to ask you for your support during this fall pledge drive. If you pledge $120, we will send you Brightsided, How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. It may not make you gloriously happy, but it is, no, I'm just kidding. It's really, it's a great read and an important one. 888-202-2552 for your pledges. Let's go to phone calls for Barbara Ehrenreich. Rich from Sullivan is calling in. Hi, Rich.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Barbara. I'm going to advocate for both because our family story is that in 2005, my sister and her husband in California were in an auto accident. She walked away unscathed. Her husband, Doug, is now blind, immobile. He has to be moved from his bed with a Hoyer lift to his chair. She describes herself as the gal whose glass is always half full. I describe myself as the guy who can always find the cloud in the silver lining. And we balance each other out in terms of this relationship, negotiating how to take care of a tremendously disabled man. And I guess the trick to this essentially is to reach out to people who sort of help you balance out. I reached out to your listener services department because Gene Faraca had a program on about a guy in 74 whose barn burned down in Clintonville. The point of telling this is that Doug is a Midwestern boy. He wanted to move back to the Midwest. As I said, he's now blind, bedridden, immobile, TBI, traumatically brain injured. Your listener services sent us a copy of that radio program because he listens to a lot of stuff and responds variously to different kinds of stuff. Interestingly, he does not like the positive thinking tapes.
Huh.
He likes the stories of hardship overcome through long winters and being on a farm. And all I'd say to listeners is sign up for the monthly deduction from your checking account or from your credit card pledge, because one of the most positive things in my life, as Kathleen knows, and most people in Wisconsin know for themselves, is Wisconsin Public Radio. Mm. So whether you're a gloomy kind of person or a sunny sort of person, I think the trick is to seek out those things that get you out of yourself and into a different way of thinking.
Oh, thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
Poetic as always. Barbara?
Yes, I would heartily agree with that, especially that last sentence, is that the trick is to get out of yourself. Try not to see the world totally colored by either your wishes or your fears. That's what I mean by realism. You know, trying to understand what's actually going on so we can do something about those things we can change.
Yeah. And just to tell you Rich's story, Barbara, because you'll get a kick out of this, we just took the best trip to Springfield, Illinois to celebrate Abe Lincoln's birthday. We took 100 listeners with us, and oh, it was so good. And Rich, who just called in, I have talked to probably about once a week for 16 years, which is how long I've been doing this program, and I'd never met him before. And it was just, talk about it, a joy, because he's a guy with a great deal of depth, as many people were on that program. So here he is calling in, talking about public radio as well. And I just wanted to let everybody know about that. It's a rich life sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. All right, we're going to continue with Barbara in just a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, for you to join our conversation with Barbara Ehrenreich. Lisa Nalbandian is joining me in our studios here in Milwaukee. It is our fall membership drive and the last hour and a half that I'll have a chance to ask for your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. We're here to raise the money that we need to pay for the programs that you know that keep you informed and also keep you entertained. It's paid for by the people who listen. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to ensure the future of the programming that you count on. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Lisa Nalbandian here again. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. And this hour, we have a dollar for dollar match right now, up to $1,500. I feel like we can make that pledge, not because I have a picture of it on my wall, but because I believe in our listeners. And this generous challenge is offered by an anonymous donor. It's just their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio today. So really, your pledge today will be doubled. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Chances are the Ideas Network has covered an issue that's close to you. Healthcare. Have we ever been on healthcare? The whole political campaign, education, dogs. Have we done shows on dogs or have we done shows on dogs? I love dogs. And Rhonda loves cats and dogs as well. So we've covered it all. What more is there? WPR touches your life in many ways, I know. It's important conversation. Please make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, many of you become donors out of a sense of social responsibility. You think of Wisconsin Public Radio as a shared resource. And because you yourself have been getting value out of it over the past year, or maybe two, or maybe 3 years, it's time to invest back into that resource.
Make a donation for the community, for yourself, the amount up to you. For $120, we're happy to send you Barbara Ehrenreich's Fresh Off the Press. This book is brand new, Bright-Sided, How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. Give securely online, WPR.com. Or 888-202-2552.
And Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained each and every day. You get value from this program, but think about all of the morning programs. We start off with the BBC overnight, we go to Joy, then Kathleen, and then we round out the morning with Larry Mueller. You know, Wisconsin Public Radio gives you a window on the world like no other. So support the exciting mix of programs you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just a reminder, we have a dollar for dollar match up to $1,500 offered by an anonymous donor, which means 50 goes to 100. Et cetera, et cetera. Wisconsin Public Radio gets more money this way to pay for programs. So give online, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a goal of 25 pledges. And still, well, we need two more pledges to make our goal this hour. And that's before 10 o'clock. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And remember, we have a special thank you gift this hour. For a pledge of $120, you will receive a copy of the book, Brightsided, How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. That's at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Lisa. Barbara Ehrenreich is our guest. We have a ton of phone calls for her, and we go next to Eugene from Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
Barbara, I read your book, Nickel and Dime, and I thought it was the greatest thing that came along.
Well, thank you.
I grew up right after World War II, and I have two younger brothers, and all of us, three of us, succeeded in life, and we credit that with our mother. She let us try about anything that came along. And sometimes she already knew it wasn't going to work. But she stood back and let us try it. And sometimes we would fail. And what she taught us in life was balance. Sometimes it'll work, I mean, sometimes it won't. But all three of us have succeeded in life because of that. We've looked at our failures and we've looked at our successes. And for all three of us, that has worked for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I would just add to that, Eugene, that, you know, there is such a thing as determination, too. I'm not ruling out determination. I'm a very determined person. And when, you know, when I'm working on a project, I throw myself absolutely into it. But that's not quite the same as positive thinking and just thinking that things will automatically come to me if I am optimistic enough about them. I see a real difference there.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for your call. Of course, a great deal of truth, though, that mothers are really important, right, Barbara?
Oh, well, I am one, and I'm a grandma, too. So
I know.
They are super important.
Yeah. Let's go to Stephen from Oshkosh. Hi, Stephen. Hi, Stephen. Are you there? All right, Stephen is not there. Tom is next from River Falls. Hi, Tom.
Hi, thank you for this program. I like to make a couple comments and then ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that motivational speakers usually aren't. They write, produce, direct, and star in a one-person show.
Mm.
And the audience has varied backgrounds, and yet they try to come up with a program that will fit everybody, and it doesn't work. I went through a period a couple of years ago, or about 5 years ago, in which I thought that my colleagues thought that I had a negative attitude and was extremely pessimistic. And then I read a book review. The author of the book was Dr. Julie Norm, and she described what she calls defensive pessimists. The title of her book was The Positive Power of Negative Thinking. And I'm a defensive pessimist. I things can go wrong, and I try to head them off before they go wrong. So this positive attitude thing is overrated. Now my question is,
you're my kind of guy, and I'm glad you brought up this experience of being told you were too negative at work. So that's a lot of what my book, Brightsided, is about. What came over the American workplace when everybody was mm-hmm. more or less pressured into at least acting positive and cheerful at all times, so that you never get the person who's saying, whoa, I think there's something wrong with our business plan. Whoa, I think that, you know, our subprime exposure is too high. That just was not allowed.
It was not allowed. Those people were ignored, and they could have averted a terrible crisis.
Well, they were not only ignored; they were often fired or told, like Tom, you need to improve your attitude.
Right.
So it was, you know, we sort of collectively got sealed into this mass delusion that everything would be all right, and if we thought it would be all right, it would be okay. But if we had negative thoughts, bad things could happen to us. So, we never saw it coming.
Okay, here's my question. I attended a conference with a group of college students, and there was a motivational speaker who was actually somewhat motivational. And I explained to him my defensive pessimist thing, and he said, and this is what I want to know if you agree with him, he said, optimism and pessimism are personality traits, and they have nothing to do with having a positive or a negative attitude relative to accomplishing something. So my colleagues and I could be given a mission, and I would want that mission to succeed, but I would say, well, you know, we got to watch out for this and that or the other thing. Would you agree with his assessment?
I don't know. I think this is sort of semantics here. I personally am optimistic about some things and deeply pessimistic about others. I can't say there's a personality type that certainly that I fit into. But positive thinking is more like an exercise to make yourself always be optimistic about everything. And I'm saying that's dangerous, because then we don't hear from the people like you who will express doubts that are going to be very important to hear.
And thank you very much for your call. Before we go back to phone calls, I just want to, because we have you here, there are a couple things I want to just get your comments on. Number one, I'm wondering what you're thinking, because I so loved your book, Nickeled and Dimed, as well as other listeners. What you're thinking about this unemployment rate, which keeps going up and up, Barbara, what can break that? And number two, I'm also interested in your thoughts about what we may get in terms of health care reform.
Oh, now I'm going to sound pessimistic.
It's all right.
I'm very, very alarmed by what is happening in the economy. I can't believe that Wall Street has been, on this wave of sort of celebration, while so many people are seeing their lives just spiral down toward poverty or even destitution. I spent a lot of the last 6 months after I finished this book doing reporting about people in this recession, people who were not rich to start out with, even though that often makes a better story for the newspapers, but people who were already kind of having a hard time. And boy, are they having a much harder time now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the chief ways people cope, I found out, is by crowding more and more people into the same space, to the same living space, so that you have the grown children, you've got the grandchildren coming in, you may have a couch surfer who pays for the use of the couch, and this is not a good way to live.
Yeah.
As for health reform, I can't believe the insurance companies, after they get almost everything they want, they issue this report saying if we have health reform, they'll raise their rates.
Right.
And I think that, to me, they're sort of public enemy number one.
It's so hard to figure sometimes, isn't it? Because a lot of people have all they need, and yet they want more all the time. I mean, it's a simple thing, but I don't get it. And it's really done bad things for the world. Isn't enough enough?
With the health insurance companies?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is certainly greed, untrammeled greed. But they're used to having their way entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, talk about death panels. That's how they function.
Mm-hmm.
If they decide you have some kind of pre-existing condition, which could be as minor as acne or sinusitis, then they can decide not to cover your cancer care.
Right. Imagine if you had no insurance, or I think about me, what I went through too, we would have been wiped out. A lot of people are wiped out.
Well, and a lot of people with insurance are wiped out.
Yes.
I mean, I have a member of my family who's in the process of declaring bankruptcy because of medical bills, and he is insured.
Hmm. Let's go to Paul from La Crosse next. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Yes, I had cancer surgery in 92, and I ran into some of the same stuff where the hospital staff, some of them would be stopping by and cooing over the bed and things like this. I'd be going, no, No, I've got cancer. I've had the surgery. I'm going to have some radiation, and then I'm done with it. I'm fine. I just got to recover now. And it's this, I call it the veneration of the cancer patient, where you become the cancer survivor, unless, of course, you die. And then, of course, we'll forget about you. But it's this constant kind of thing that goes on. And, you know, the people who do the therapy work and stuff like this, they have to be upbeat and positive because they're talking people into doing, you know, unusual things to get back their mobility and stuff like that. And that's understandable. But for a lot of other people, I didn't tell people that, you know, I'm a cancer survivor, because then you're put into a different class. It's like you've won a medal or something. No, I beat a disease. I'm now getting on with my life. And, you know, that is my reward. I loved it when people didn't know I'd had cancer. So they'd be coming up to me and saying, why didn't you tell me? I said, well, it's hard to work into a conversation.
Right.
I completely agree, Paul. I refuse to call myself a breast cancer survivor, partly because you never know when it's going to come back, but also because it seems to put down those who do not survive. I didn't, quote, battle cancer. I did, you know, what I was supposed to do, perhaps a little too unquestioningly, I would say now, and, you know, and fortunately got through that. But that does not make me a more noble person or a braver person or anything else than the many, many people who succumb.
Thank you so much for your call. Brian from Milwaukee. Hello, Brian.
Hi. I'm a type 1 diabetic, insulin dependent, and have been since 1973. I'm 49 years old, and my doctor sent me to one of these motivational, well, not really, it's just a support group kind of a thing, and about, I think it took about a year off my life, actually. Most of the people in the group were type 2 diabetics, which is really a completely different thing, but all they did was constantly complain about how the only cookie they can eat now is a sugar-free one and this and that. And what I think that people fail to get with these sorts of things is that you can't look at this like cancer or anything else like, oh, I'm going to get something out of this, because you won't. You've got to realize that what you've got is killing you. And so you've got to get up in the morning and put your shoes on and do what you need to do to survive. And survival in and of itself will keep you going through the day. And then you can focus on things like your family and that you've got a job or whatever good thing you might have. I think it's just taking it day by day, and all this motivational crap, for lack of a better word, it's kind of like these people that sell Amway. It's really got no substance. And I'll take my comments off the other than saying that nickel and dime should be required reading for high school seniors. I think our college entry-level people would just go through the roof. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It is a great book.
Thank you for the plug, Brian. No, I agree that it's a hard thing to get through a disease or to live with diabetes. It's, all of those things are very hard. Why not just say that? This is a hard thing to do. You're going to miss some kinds of cookies, right, and things like that. But, you know, you deserve some respect for that. Not, you don't deserve to be honored as a great survivor, but people need to understand that you're going through a hard time.
Right. Barbara Ehrenreich is our guest, and this is the Ideas Network. Barbara Ehrenreich is our guest, and we have time for another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. I just can't see your name because I got a block here on my computer. So who are you?
Well, my name is Jen Hellman.
Hi, Jen.
And I am working on a new magazine that's going to be coming out called Positive Impact Magazine. And we've been doing a lot of research through athletes and celebrities and all different kinds of people that are making a positive impact in the world through thinking positively. And I guess I don't know if I have as many questions, but some comments would be, when we're looking at some of these people that have started these large foundations, small charities, and different things that people are doing around the world to make a positive impact, the people that are doing this have something within them. They have a balance between the negative and the positive. The negative is what drives them, and the positive, I think, is really what keeps them going, keeps them enriched, and keeps them moving in the direction to really help and make a difference. And I think without that positive thinking, you're missing part of it. You're missing that balance that you need to, I think, truly make a difference in the world. And when you look at people like Bono and Greg Mortensen, who wrote the book Three Cups of Tea, these men are driven in such a positive light that they are actually able to make a difference.
Barbara.
Well, I think if you're bringing up making a difference in the world, as Bono certainly has tried to do on some issues and so on, I think you have to start with a clear recognition of what the problems are. What we've had going on in this country is when people try to articulate a problem or what they're going through, like to be able to, you know, to think the thought that there are too many layoffs in America and that there's something wrong with an economy that can't use all the talent and skills of its people, then you can't get anywhere on a social problem. You can't do anything unless you start out with absorbing that, you know, the reality, which is often quite dreadful.
Barbara, thank you so much for being with us this hour, for your work, and for all of your books. You're the best. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Kathleen.
Barbara Ehrenreich, our guest, for a $120 pledge, we're happy to send you a copy of her book, Brightsided, How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. This is our fall pledge drive. I just have about an hour left to ask for your support of this program. We rely on you for a significant part of our budget, and when we think of Barbara, we think of people who have less, and not everybody, as you know, can afford to contribute right now. There are people who have been laid off. There are people without jobs. So your leadership, your empathy is very important right now. Pledge online, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552 with your pledge of any amount. I'm sorry, I didn't get your microphone. Lisa Nalbandian, hi.
Hi, and this hour we had a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,500, and I'm happy to say that we made that challenge. So thank you so much for all of you that have pledged, but keep those pledges coming in. Give now, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552.
Whether you pledge online or if you call, we keep your information very safe. Your gift right now of $5 or $10 a month, whatever feels right to you, will become the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. We're so delighted to bring you people like Barbara Ehrenreich, who make you think, and she's done valuable, valuable work and writing. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So put a value on the programming that you enjoy every single day, this hour and all the hours to come. And remember, for a pledge of $120 this hour, you'll receive a copy of Brightsided, How Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. And that's at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is listener supported. It means that we rely, of course, on listeners for a significant part of our budget. When you choose to make a leadership contribution of $1,000 or more, you'll be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio in a significant way. Not everybody can afford to contribute, so your leadership is important. Again, it's for your support, 888-202-2552.
Well, I started listening to public radio, I guess, really when I was in Chicago. And so then when I moved to Wisconsin in 81, it really did seem like it helped me feel connected to a brand new state. Just thinking, for example, of Simply Folk, which I've listened to over so many years, you just feel like you have a personal investment and attachment. I keep listening to it because I feel a personal obligation to keep public radio afloat. Funding is always tight for programs like this, and I think it's one of the last bastions of democracy we've got in Wisconsin. I'm Diane Ryan from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for connecting with the greater Wisconsin community.
And so you can express your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
And remember, for a pledge of $120, ask for the book Brightsided, How Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. So pledge right now, 888-202-2552, online, WPR.org.
It's heartening to know there are people like Barbara Ehrenreich in the world. She's a phenomenal reporter. My favorite book of hers is Nickel and Dimed, where she tried to eke out a living working at minimum wage jobs and had to have many of them. A lot of people are living in a reality that not too many people write about these days, and Barbara certainly does. She writes extensively about her breast cancer diagnosis in this latest book and how being realistic about this and learning about it was more important than teddy bears and pink ribbons. And it's a powerful piece. She writes a lot of powerful pieces. For $120, we're happy to send you Brightsided, How the Relentless Promotion of Positive Thinking Has Undermined America. And this is, as Lisa said earlier, you can't just visualize giving.
Right.
You have to give. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kathleen, I think you're touching on exactly what is the spirit of the Ideas Network. It's substantial topics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know you need more than just a headline. We know that you need an hour with the greatest thinkers of our time. We know that you need an hour with Barbara Ehrenreich. That's what it boils down to. And you know what? You probably also need her book, which you can get for a pledge of $120. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you very much, Lisa Nalbandian. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, Rob Schroeder for on-air production in our studios. Thank you, everybody, for your pledges, and we appreciate them. Thanks to Barbara Ehrenreich as well.